Shakti Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4, text number 19. Chaturhodram karma shuddham. Prajnanam vikshvaidikam. Vyadadhad yajna santatyai. Vedamekam chaturvidham. Chatu, four.
Four.
Hotram,
sacrificial fires.
Karma shuddham, purification of work. Prajanam,
of the people in general.
Viksha,
after seeing.
Vaidikam,
according to Vedic rites.
Vyadadhat,
made into.
Yajna,
sacrifice.
Santatyai,
to expand.
Vedamekam,
only one Veda.
Chaturvidham,
in four divisions.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is Suta Goswami speaking, and he's speaking about Vyasadeva. So this is what Suta is saying. He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupations could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four in order to expand them among men. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Formerly, there was only the Veda of the name Yajur, and the four divisions of sacrifices were there specifically mentioned. But to make them more easily performable, the Veda was divided into four divisions of sacrifice just to purify the occupational service of the four orders. That is the Varnashram system. Above the four Vedas, namely the Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva, there are the Puranas, the Mahabharat, the Samhitas, etc., which are known as the fifth Veda. Srila Vyasadeva and his many disciples were all historical personalities, and they were very kind and sympathetic toward the fallen souls of this age of Kali. As such, the Puranas and Mahabharat were made from related historical facts which explain the teaching of the four Vedas. There is no point in doubting the authority of the Puranas and Mahabharata as parts and parcels of the Vedas. In the Chandogya Upanishad 7.1.4, the Puranas and Mahabharata, generally known as histories, are mentioned as the fifth Veda. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, that is the way of ascertaining the respective values of the revealed scriptures. So, Vyasadeva, in his mature understanding and vision of what was going to happen in the world, what he was seeing already happening, he realized that Kali Yuga was coming and there would be many defects. So he was fully knowledgeable, and he had transcendental vision. So he could understand that everything in Kali Yuga would become deteriorated due to the influence of heavy material energy, which Kali Yuga magnifies. You know, if you have a magnifying glass, you hold it on a piece of paper, the sun's rays get focused and you can burn that paper. But you take away the magnifying glass, the sun will never burn the paper. So Kali Yuga focuses on the negative. So what happens? It means that people become faithless. Their life becomes reduced. They are impatient because they're no longer in the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, people are patient, they're calm. But in the mode of passion, they're restless and impatient. In the mode of ignorance, they're not even conscious, barely conscious. So therefore, Vyasadeva was contemplating what to do to benefit humanity. That was his whole focus. So here it's mentioned that he understood that all the yajnas in the Vedas had one purpose, and that purpose was to purify people through their normal occupational activity. So whatever your station in life was, you would perform certain yajnas, certain purificatory rites, to keep your consciousness and your heart in the right place. And he wanted to make it more simple, because not only would the people in Kali Yuga have reduced life and reduced patience, they'd also have reduced intelligence. So let us make it more easy for them, and we'll divide the Veda, make it easier. So his concern is para upakar, for the benefit of others. This is the mentality of a saintly person. Saintly person always acts for the benefit of others. He doesn't act for his own benefit. The common people, the praja, here the word is praja, prajanam, of the common people, or praja also means the citizens. So for the ordinary citizens, everyone's working for their own benefit. Here in Australia, every person's working for their own benefit. In Europe, in America, all over the world, everybody works for their own benefit. The animals, everything they do is for their own benefit. Only great saints like Srila Prabhupada sacrifice their lives and work for the benefit of others. Therefore, Prabhupada left Vrindavan at an old age, when his health wasn't even good, to come and give us the benefit. At 70 years old, Prabhupada started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's when most people retire. If he would have stayed in Vrindavan, chanted his rounds, gone back home, back to Godhead, no one would have found fault. But when he wanted to leave, everyone said, "Oh, Swamiji, well, you are too old to go. Your health is not good. What if you leave your body in a foreign country?" No, you should not do this. Because in their mind, everything they do is for their own benefit. So they gave advice to Prabhupada based on their own projection. What is the best thing for your own benefit? So don't do this. It's not good for you. But Prabhupada's not thinking what's good for me. He's thinking, how can I benedict the conditioned souls? How can I help another person? This mood of wanting to help others is called love. Nishkam karma, selfless service. Everyone else is doing selfish service. When we all come to Krishna consciousness, we're coming here for our own benefit. Hopefully, we become purified by following the process that we come to the level of Srila Prabhupada. And we want to focus only on helping others. This is called an advanced Vaishnava. Now, when most people hear this nishkam karma, selfless service for the benefit of others, they think, this is impossible. No one can do this. Because in their world and in their consciousness, this is something that's unacceptable, undoable, not doable. Because they've never had the association of a pure devotee, so that they know it is doable and it has been done. Prabhupada did it. Jesus did it. Moses did it. St. Francis of Assisi did it. Everybody who was a saint, they worked for the benefit of others. They weren't concerned with their own benefit. But when Krishna sees that you're working for the benefit of others, he becomes concerned for your benefit and he takes care of you. So my question is, who can take care of your benefit better, you or Krishna? So if we work for other people's benefits, Krishna is going to take care of us better than we could take care of ourselves. We'll be more benefited if he does it than if we do it ourselves. You understand the point? And this is the teaching of Bhakti Yoga, Nishkam Karma, selfless service for the benefit of others, and Krishna will take care of your benefit. In order to do that, you need faith. In order to do this, you have to trust Krishna. And in order to do this, you have to have compassion for others. If you don't care about others, why would you do anything for them? Just like we see that the parents, they do everything for their kids. They do nothing for the kids across the street, or the kids in another city, or the kids in another country. But Prabhupada, he saw everyone as his children. So he went across the ocean for the benefit of others in elderly age and in poor health. How do we know that his health was poor? Because on the boat, before he even got there, he suffered two heart attacks. At that point, no one would have criticized him if he'd have turned back. Did he turn back? That's why we're all here, because he didn't turn back. Nothing could stop him. He was determined. And he had patience. Okay, it's a little rough going in the beginning, but I have patience that Krishna wants this to be done. That's what he says in Bhagavad Gita. My Guru Maharaj wants this to be done. I must do it. So we see, we're very fortunate. We have the example of Srila Prabhupada's life, how he dedicated his life to benefit others. No obstacles could come in his way. The government of India couldn't come in his way. The fact that he had no money couldn't stop him. The fact that he had poor health couldn't stop him. The fact that he had heart attacks couldn't stop him. If we sneeze, we get a cold, and that stops us. One sneeze stops us. Oh, I can't go out to Sankirtan today. I'm not in good health. Vishnujan Maharaj would go out every single day and chant for 8 hours on the streets. And when they said to him, you're not in good health, you know, you need to rest, you shouldn't go out. He said, Well, if I go out and chant, then all the bacteria in the body will become purified. When Jayananda got sick, they said, now you should go on special diet. He said, no, bring me cauliflower pakoras offered to the Lord. That way, all the germs will also become purified. They're even thinking about the bacteria, about the viruses, about the germs. They don't say, yeah, you're right. I won't go out to preach today. Yeah, give me some medicine. Give me some hot tea. No, give me Krishna prasad. There was a discussion once in the San Francisco temple during prasadam. And one devotee was saying, you know, when I feel ill, I take herbal teas. I take these different teas. And someone else said, well, when I feel ill, I do this and I do that. Everyone was giving their thing, what they do when they're not feeling well to get better. So then they said, Jayananda, what do? When you're not feeling well. He said, I eat as much maha prasad as I can, purify the germs. That was his perspective. So the great souls, like Srila Prabhupada, like Srila Vyasadeva, they're only concerned with how to benefit the people in general. And it was Lord Chaitanya who said, janma sarta korikora pora upakar, that one can perfect his life by working for the benefit of others. So now we understand that if you want to perfect your life, you work for the benefit of others. Because Lord Chaitanya said so. Do you want more proof? Or is that enough? Well, someone say something. That's more than enough, but I'm going to give you more than enough. I'm going to give you further proof to convince you. Let's look at the people on this planet. As we spoke earlier, we said that everybody's working for their own benefit. Every man, woman, student, they're working for their own benefit. Are their lives perfect? Far from it. What more proof do you need? Now let's look at Prabhupada, Vyasadeva, Jesus, St. Francis of Assisi as examples. Were their lives perfect? They worked for the benefit of others. Their lives were so perfect, we still glorify them thousands of years later. There's the proof. If you work for the benefit of others, your life becomes perfect. Janma sartak, perfecting your life. Korikora, by doing what? Pora upakar. Upakar means benefit, pora means for others, by working for the benefit of others. That's how Prabhupada translated that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Other people, not Prabhupada, but other people, other Vaishnavas, translated it different. You perfect your life first, then you go out and preach for the benefit of others. They translate it that way. But then how do you perfect your life first if you're working for your own benefit? We already proved that you're going to only perfect your life by working for the benefit of others. So it doesn't even make sense, perfect your life first and then go out and work for the benefit of others. So we're so fortunate that we have Prabhupada's teachings. We are the most fortunate. But unfortunately, we don't always realize that we're the most fortunate. There have been many people who came to ISKCON and were misled and went to seek higher knowledge from another Vaishnava who actually gave them lower understanding. Now, how could someone accept a lower understanding as a higher understanding? That's my question. Anybody have the answer? Because it was more benefit for them. They didn't get it. Work for the benefit of others, or what's in it for me? Then they go to this other Vaishnava and he said, here's the benefit for you. Ah, wow, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. Selfless service. Prabhupada taught us selfless service. It was too deep, too high for a lot of people to understand. That's why Prabhupada stressed the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra so you would become purified enough to understand it. And my experience is that when we chant the holy name of the Lord and take shelter of the holy name of the Lord, we get that understanding because we become purified. This is what is mentioned in here. The Vedas are meant for purifying people. Lord Chaitanya could see that Kali Yuga was going to get so worse that forget those other yajnas. Okay, they'll help you, they'll purify you, but take this Maha Mantra, it's like a rocket back home, back to Godhead, instead of walking. So you can walk back or you can take a rocket ship back. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. He even quoted this verse that in Kali Yuga this is the only way, that in Kali Yuga the other ways probably don't even work anymore because our life is too short, our patience is too short, our intelligence is too short, limited. We don't have what it takes. Therefore, take shelter of the holy name. But if we don't take shelter of the holy name, if we don't chant Hare Krishna mantra, we don't get the result. There's two ways of not chanting Hare Krishna. Okay? Number one, you don't pick up your bead bag. Well, if someone's not picking up the beads, then he's not chanting his rounds. We all know that. What's number two? If you don't hear the rounds, you could be going, come to the end of the round, can't remember how I got there. It means I didn't hear. So I should chant the round over again, right? But most people count it as a round chanted. So they count 16 rounds unchanted, unheard. Can you make advancement that way? So I call that not chanting your rounds. They call it chanting their rounds. I chanted 16 rounds that I didn't hear, and I was thinking the whole time of so many different things, but I chanted my rounds. And I say, you didn't chant your rounds. What is the proof? Your understanding, your level of commitment, your dedication, your rasa, your feeling, your emotion, everything, that's the proof. We have to come to the level of Prabhupada. Nothing stops us. We overcome all obstacles because we're dedicated, because we've become purified by following the process correctly. I've given this example before. Some of you may have heard it. Others may not, so I'll give it again. That in the material world, we're all suffering from the material headache, stress, and anxiety. Everybody. Therefore, we have headache tablets, Tylenol, aspirin, whatever. And to relieve your headache, take the tablet with water, headache goes away. Right? We've all had a headache and we all took a tablet and headache went away. Correct? But if you take the same tablet and you don't follow the correct procedure, which is to swallow it with water, but you put a tablet on your forehead like this, the headache doesn't go away. No matter how long, how dedicated you are to keeping that tablet on your forehead, doesn't go away because you did it wrong. Similarly, chanting japa without hearing the mantras means you did it wrong, you don't get the result. Why should you get the result for doing it wrong and not hearing it? Why should you get the same result as someone doing it right and hearing it? Would that make sense? That wouldn't make sense, would it? Would that be fair? It wouldn't be fair either. Is Krishna fair? Krishna is fair. We get what we deserve. Therefore, when devotees sometimes would say to Prabhupada, you know, they really want to go back home, back to Godhead, Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. First deserve, then desire. You're not going to go back home, back to Godhead, if you're just mumbling. Sometimes we sit in the Bhagavatam class. At the end of the class, we go take prasad. So one time, I said to one of my god brothers, how come you weren't in the Bhagavatam class this morning? He said, no, I was there. I said, no, I don't think you were there. He said, no, I was sitting right over there. You didn't see me? I said, yeah, I saw your body. But you were spacing out the whole time. You didn't hear a word. So are you your body or are you the consciousness? Yeah, your body was there, but you weren't there. If you bring your body to the class, but you don't bring your consciousness, which is who you are, then you're not in the class. Is that logical? Of course, if I think I'm the body, and I bring my body to the class, then I'm in the class. But our first teaching is that we're not the body. We shouldn't be thinking that I'm the body. I'm the consciousness in the body. So the consciousness has to be in the class. So, Vyasadeva is so magnanimous, so compassionate. He's empathetic. He wants to give the Vedas in a way that would be more easily digestible by humankind so that they can more easily understand and follow the process to become purified and to get out of the clutches of repeated birth and death and the stress and anxiety and heartbreak of material life. And Lord Chaitanya made it even easier by giving us this process of devotional service, with chanting the holy names of the Lord, honoring Mahaprasad, worshipping the deities, studying only the related devotional shastras. So we don't have to read all four Vedas, all the itihases, all the Puranas, the Mahabharata. Prabhupada made it even easier for us. He took those most important shastras and translated it into every language spoken on this planet so that everybody, no matter where they came from, whatever culture or language they grew up in, they could get this mercy. And that's why we're here today. We have to be grateful to Srila Prabhupada. How can we show our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada? In other words, how do we say, thank you? I so much appreciate everything you've done for me. Improved my life so much. How do we show our gratitude? By following his instructions and going back home, back to Godhead in this life. And then personally saying, thank you. Because of you, I'm back home. When Gaura Govinda Maharaj passed away in Mayapur, while he was speaking, giving a darshan, speaking about the mercy of Lord Jagannath, then that was during the Mayapur festival in 1997. Then his body was immediately taken back to Orissa, Bhubaneswar. And they have a gathering. We all get together to honor the departed soul. What's that called in Sanskrit, in Hindi? Okay, anyway. Sorry? Yeah, anyway, it's a word. You don't know the... Shraddha? Huh? Okay. Doesn't sound familiar, but anyway. But, you know, we all know that. So I was there, and everyone was speaking and giving their eulogies, their glorification of Gorgovinda Maharaj. And then my godbrother, Ram Bhadra Prabhu, who is the temple president of New York City Temple, he gave what I thought was the most insightful eulogy. He said, this was the year of Prabhupada's 100th centennial celebration. And all the devotees and all the temples everywhere were focused on glorifying Prabhupada and doing things to glorify Prabhupada. But Gaur Govinda Maharaj gave the best gift, the best presentation, glorified Prabhupada the most, more than anybody else. He went back home, back to Godhead. And that is the greatest gift you can give to Prabhupada. Because as we follow this process and are successful and go back home, back to Godhead, all the previous acharyas, they're saying to Prabhupada, wow, you did a fantastic job. Look at this, so many people coming back. You did terrific. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're all glorifying Prabhupada. You did such great service. But if we don't follow the process, we take birth again, and no one goes back to Godhead, Prabhupada's feeling kind of sheepish, you know, well, I did my best. They say, well, don't worry, you did your best. You know, it's their fault, not yours. Do we want to show our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada? Let's really get serious here. Go back home, back to Godhead, so that he can be truly recognized and glorified for the sacrifices he made for our benefit. So, Pura Upakar, let's work for the benefit of Prabhupada and go back home, back to Godhead. And that's our benefit. It's already taken care of. When Krishna sees that you're doing everything to benefit Prabhupada, he's going to give you more than 100% mercy. Prabhupada gave this example once. He gave the example of two business people approached a rich man, and they wanted to establish a partnership with this rich man because he had the money. They had the business. So the first man, he went and he purchased some gift that he gave to the man. You're a wonderful person. You know, I bought this gift for you. You know, we should be working together and this and that. So the man, the rich man, said, well, I'll think about it. And he thought, yeah, this guy's only giving me a gift to butter me up. It's more like a bribe. He could see through it. Second man, who had a business, who wanted to work with the rich man, he had a different strategy. He bought some sweets. And he said to the man, I brought these sweets for your children and some others for your grandchildren. And immediately... that rich man's heart melted. Oh, so sweet. Thank you so much. So he liked him better. So Krishna states in the Adi Purana that if you claim to be my devotee, I may not accept you as my devotee. But if you claim to be the devotee of my devotee, then I fully accept you as my devotee. So we have to be the devotee of the devotee. other words, we have to be devoted to Prabhupada and to all the Vaishnavas. And when Krishna sees that we're serving the Vaishnavas, we're working for the benefit of the other Vaishnavas, we're working to make Prabhupada's mission a success, we're doing everything for the benefit of others, even the conditioned souls on the street, we're going out to benedict them, then we become very, very dear to Krishna. And we're guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada told us this. In 1975, in Los Angeles, he gave a class, and he talked about this. And he said, if you follow the example that I've given, follow my instructions, everything I've given you, I guarantee you go back to home, back to Godhead in this life. So we have a guarantee. You want to void the warranty? Because if you stay fixed on what Prabhupada's given us, you're guaranteed to go back home in this life. No more, you know, consideration of taking birth again. Sometimes I speak to people, I ask them, are you going back home, back to God in this life? Are you convinced that you're going back home, back to God in this life? They say, no, I don't think so. Maybe in a few lives. Well, then become convinced. Do what it takes. Don't take the risk of another birth. Because who knows what your situation will be. I can guarantee Prabhupada won't be there. And no Prabhupada disciples will be there either. And what state ISKCON will be in then? Who knows? Why take the risk? Prabhupada was just here a few days ago. During our lifetime. Prabhupada's disciples are still here to make sure that you're connected to the parampara. But who will your guru be in the next life? A disciple of a disciple of a disciple of a disciple. You know, maybe four or five removed from Prabhupada. Will he give the exact same parampara teaching as it is as Prabhupada did? Or will it have become watered down? Will some things have been changed? Why take the risk when you can have 100% guarantee right now that you're following exactly what Prabhupada wanted, and you can perfect your life right now, go back home, back to Godhead? So that's why I always say, you'll never have a better chance to go back home, back to Godhead than you have right now in this life. You never had a better one in the past because you're here, still in the material world. And you'll never have a better one in the future because we don't know what situation ISKCON will be in. We don't know who the guru will be. Prabhupada will be someone way back, some saint way back in the 20th century. So this is the best opportunity you'll ever have. And if you don't make it in this life, chances that you'll make it in the next life are not more, they're less. Because we got the guarantee in this life from Prabhupada. And you have Prabhupada's disciples. And ISKCON is still on track. Although it's floundering. Do you know what's going on in Brisbane? How many people know what's going on in Brisbane Temple right now? Only one person? A few. It's floundering. It's a shambles. They lost the temple. I just spoke to Surabhi yesterday. There's a few devotees living in a house, a little small house. The deities are there. The temple's finished. They're struggling. There's three groups of devotees. They don't see eye to eye. It's a schism. They have a new person who's now coming in as the regional secretary to try and get things back in order. That's just in your country. I'm not even talking about America. It's even worse. So, let's get serious. That should be our motto. Let's get serious. So Vyasadeva, he was serious. Okay, I got a big job to do here. The one Veda, I'm going to divide it in different ways. I'm going to make it easier for people. He undertook that service for the benefit of others. Let's follow his example. Let's follow Prabhupada's example. Let's get serious. Let's go back home, back to Godhead in this life. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah, because if you do it wrong, you don't get the results. You got to do it right.
Yeah, the other one has to do with the Hare Krishna mantra itself. when we're chanting, I notice that often it's pronounced Hare Rama, but it comes out of Rama, but it comes out of Rama.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, that's okay.
Because it's not, you're not chanting a Vedic mantra to get a material benefit. You're chanting the name of Krishna to establish a loving relationship. It's different. So I asked this question myself many, many years ago. How do I even know that I'm chanting the mantra right? Because I travel around, everybody chants it differently. I made this analogy the other day in the retreat, but I can say it again for the benefit of those who weren't there. Is that okay? In France, they go, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Because nobody pronounces the H in French. In Spanish, it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Right? Because they don't say Krishna, they say Krishna. You know, how do they say it in China? Well, she says it right. But many people in China say it wrong. They say Krishna. Right? Or Krishna. Now, in Orissa, they say Krishna. They do. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. So the point is this. So I asked, what is the real way? How do I know if what I'm saying is right? You want to hear the answer? Who wants to hear the answer? Okay. This was the answer. And the analogy was given that we're like children just starting out in devotional service. So when a mother has a child and the child is learning to speak, he may say some words that nobody can understand, but the mother will say, "Did you hear that? He said my name." Nobody could understand that that was her name, but the mother heard it. Similarly, Krishna hears that we're saying his name. Doesn't matter how wrong we pronounce it, Krishna hears it. And he says to Radharani, "They're saying my name." Radharani says, "Give them your mercy." Well, you stumped me on that question. We can't really say what happens to that person. We can just say what doesn't happen. They don't go back home, back to Godhead. I'm sure they get some benefit through osmosis. And other, you know, association of devotees. They get some benefit, but they don't get the ultimate benefit. What's the point of doing something and only getting a fraction of the benefit when you can get the full benefit. And another point is, it takes the same amount of time to do it wrong as it does to do it right. Any other point? Yes.
Why some people they don't want to go back to Godhead? Why some people they don't want to go back to Godhead?
Why they don't want to go back to Godhead? Well, can I quote Prabhupada? Their brain is not clean. That's what Prabhupada said one time. Why, he wrote a letter, he said, why they are changing what I've given means their brain is not clean. What's the name of our magazine? Back to Godhead. That's what Prabhupada taught us. Go back to Godhead. That's why I say we don't know where ISKCON will be in the future. Maybe they'll teach, oh, going back to Godhead, that's selfish. You should stay here and work for, you know, 10 more lifetimes. Who knows what they're going to preach? Prabhupada told us, go back home, back to Godhead. That's the mission of human life. Lord Chaitanya told us that. And Prabhupada gave the guarantee. And there's another time Prabhupada instructed us. He said, you have had so many millions of births. And in all those births, you have seen everything, you've heard everything, you've done everything. So then Prabhupada said, why not just give this one little life to Krishna? So finish up your business in the material world, he went like this, and go back home, back to Godhead in this life. Now I know that that's what Prabhupada's teaching is, because I was there, I heard it with my own ear. If someone says, we don't have to go back to Godhead, their brain is not clean. They're not studying Prabhupada's books. They're not hearing this mantra. They're speculating. There's four regulative principles. And there's one regulative principle that everyone breaks every single day. And that is the fourth. No gambling or mental speculation. Because mental speculation is a gamble. When you have the absolute truth, and you speak it, not a gamble. But when you speculate, you may be right, you may be wrong. Gambling means that there's two possible outcomes. You win or you lose. So mental speculation is gambling. Speaking the Shastra is not a gamble because it's 100% guarantee. So why they speculate? The brain is not clean. Because they're not using the purifying agency of the holy name. That's my conclusion. Maybe there's some other reason why the brain is